Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. It nearly didn't happen, Max, well, as you'll discover.
Yeah.
Left his sickbed to be here. More on that shortly. We also spoke...
Did you go too much on that today?
No, I think you've forgotten about it, which is good. We've taken your mind off it as the show went on. Yeah. It became less of an issue. Gennaro Castaldo joined us from the BPI, and we talked about European Championship anthems. A new one is coming up soon, and we talked about that and played some from the past. Danny Kelly was on Fine Form as he looked back on the career of a sporting great in his My Sporting Life archive chat. And, of course, we had a couple of conversations, one of which elephants featured quite prominently and we looked back on last night's football, and that's just about it. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max. And yes, you have, they say people of a certain age are fairly unaffected by the first jab, but those of slightly younger, like yourself, can get a bad reaction. So for those about to have it, yeah, tell us about your experience.
So I had Moderna.
Oh, you went down that
hipster. Well, I mean, it wasn't bad. I didn't choose it. It's just what I was given.
Yeah.
And I had it about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and I felt absolutely fine. Mm. I thought, what's all the fuss about? There's no issue here. I did a bit of work last night, and then I watched the game. So my analysis of the game will be forensic. Don't worry.
Yeah, of course.
And then at about 3 o'clock this morning, I woke up. I felt like someone had shot me in the arm.
Wow.
And then I was sweating and shivering, and you know, and I thought, should I? You know, this may be a bit like Harry Kane playing in the Champions League final.
Well, we'll find out, won't we, for the next 3 hours.
Ronaldo in 98, you know, is it selfish? But the thing is, you know, it's kind of reportage, isn't it? This is what people are going through.
Yeah.
I thought it would be, like, it's interesting journalism to see how I cope, you know, under the pressure of live radio. And, obviously, I'll take a back seat here. So it's a great opportunity, Paul, for you to really spread your wings.
Yeah, of course. And this is me. I can do songs from the shows. Isn't it rich? And telling stories of the different actors and
this
actresses
like
I've worked with, despite the fact
win.
I haven't.
It's an audience
would be great.
Win.
Ask me any questions you like. It was a triumph. And I said to Elaine Stritch, it'd be one of them. Well, it won't be, of course, because
looking forward to this. I think it could be marvellous. And you didn't have a good night's sleep either. So look, we're setting the bar very low today. Set your expectations.
I often find, Andy and I have always said, any other job, over the years when one of us has felt a bit ill in the morning, you think, you don't want to let the other one down. You've got to find a late replacement. You're done. So you say, I'll do it. I'll do the show, you know. It does focus on me not getting paid. I won't rule that out if you don't turn up.
I don't get paid for this.
Okay. I knew you did it for love. But also, any other show, we say. But generally, when you're on air, the old adrenaline gets going. You'll feel terrible after 4 o'clock, let me tell you that now. But for the next 3 hours, Max, I'll keep your spirits up if I can.
Thanks so much. I used to do a breakfast show with Joe Good.
And she
used to be in Crossroads.
I remember Joe.
And she used to say, Dr. Footlights. That's what they said in the theatre.
Yeah.
Dr. Footlights.
I think that's possibly what we're talking about.
I won't
about
mention
here.
It again.
Anyway, as we said, the Bert Trautmann Award this year does go to Max for turning up today. He was touch and go earlier, but here he is. We watched a game of football last night. I was just saying to Trevor Sinclair outside there, what about the orange ball? Where's the orange ball? Okay. Now, when UEFA descend on a stadium, I know from my Chelsea days, they bring an army of people. They have got every box ticked. And you think, there's so many of them, they could not left anything behind. But they've left the orange ball behind. They obviously thought May, not as Trevor said, they don't know Manchester, that hailstones and snow is fairly common in May.
I think Sheffield has to go for this kind of...
I think he should. Somebody in a blazer is going to be getting clogged at UEFA today for not having the orange ball.
It's like the Blazers went out half-time, didn't they, to sort of sweep the ground with their slip-on shoes.
They probably did. That,
and actually, maybe had they not gone on... Yeah. Then that ball to Foden and the run down the line, it might have held up. So maybe they're the real stars.
Because that was a frustration in the first half, that neither team could get the old passes going because the surface wasn't open. It was getting stuck a little bit. And you thought, this game, the spectacle, especially after City scored and PSG came back and worked hard and they treated it like the 89th minute, you thought, the spectacle deserves a better surface than this, but, what can you do about the weather?
But, I mean, there were so many brilliant City performances, weren't there? I mean, Ruben Dias sort of proving that he would take a bullet for the president during that game.
That's right.
Fernandinho is 36. I mean, that's mad, isn't it? And, he, on the Eshowsery scale, I mean, he's just sort of, he's unbelievable at that, isn't he? Not to get booked. He's committing all these fouls that nobody notices.
He does it with a smile on his face, didn't he? Maybe that's where other players have gone wrong. Maybe there's certain players, like Sergio Ramos, we'll see him tonight. His trademark move, now it's not a sly little touch on the Achilles.
No.
His trademark move is a forearm smash. How can you constantly get away with, you might call it a body check, but often, I've seen him forearm smash people a dozen times, and he still stays on the pitch. We may see tonight he'll get stuck into someone. Maybe he'll cut off Havertz or Werner.
I mean, to be fair, Ramos has been sent off a few times.
He has been, but not maybe as many as he should have been. Some players just get away with it.
Like Alan Smith or Gary Lineker, isn't he? It's amazing. Sort of feel a bit... Obviously, the meltdown from PSG, and we'll talk to Philippe in a second about it, is ridiculous. And it's very Sunday league. I was tweeting yesterday, I don't imagine they'll be in the bar waiting for the raffle after that game.
Didn't stick around for food.
They
after.
Won't shower. They'll get in Neymar's Ford Orion and just be out of there. There'll be one of them. One of the players will be sat there on his own because he's bought a ticket for the scratch card and said, I really should. Or maybe Di Maria went up to the ref and said, look, if I get you a pint, will you not put it through? It's possible. But it was some meltdown, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we'll talk to Philippe Maclaire about that. But from a City point of view, sensational performance. What a ball from Foden for that second
goal.
What a ball from Edison. Yeah. It was a great performance by them. And the omens are good from City's point of view because they go to Istanbul with reserve keeper Scott Carson.
Yes.
Scott Carson was last in a Champions League final in Istanbul with Liverpool. We all know how that turned out, of course. So he is a good omen. So taking Scott Carson to Istanbul is very much a surefire way of coming home with a trophy. And I've taken Scott Carson to Istanbul, struck me as we were talking about it earlier, as a bit of a euphemism, doesn't it? So if you want to paint the scenarios in which you might use that, I mean, I went very much route one, returning 10 minutes after leaving the room with a paper under your arm, saying, where you been? Sorry about that, lads. I just had to take Scott Carson to Istanbul. You get the idea with that. So let us know the scenario in which you're allowed to complete the sentence. I'm just taking, or I've indeed just taken, Scott, within reason, obviously, considering the time of day, taken Scott Carson to Istanbul. That's not the only thing I'm going to ask you this afternoon. We do want your bad-tempered matches.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the ones we've got have involved the police or extreme violence.
Yes.
One or two...
Can we have no weaponry?
Yeah, no machetes. I mean, it's obviously, this is kind of, fairly fluffy, pointless daytime radio most of the time. And the idea of chasing people around a car park with a machete is clearly not what we've asked for. As Stuart Pearce would say, keep it humourable. We also want from you colours you avoid. Look, Sergio Romero, the goalkeeper at Manchester United, is driving a light blue Hummer around Manchester.
Look,
he is Argentinian, so we'll cut him some slack. But it is also the colours of United's City rivals.
Yeah. And you were telling me about your pants this morning.
The red-banded pants. Yes. Now, that it's not a bird.
No.
It's something I was bought in a box of undercrackers a while back.
Okay.
And it has a red band.
Okay.
And I'm not massively keen on red.
Where are they from?
I can't remember. Oh, wow. I can't remember. Just, it was like some Christmas gift.
Okay, that's sweet.
But the red banded pant is not worn on days when the Goons are playing. Because I fear that it's going to give them some kind of... I always think to myself, just before Arteta sends them out, he says, don't forget, Hawksby's wearing his red banded pants today, so, you know, we're one goal up already. I think I just won't take... I know it's stupid, yes. And I'll go into the pant drawer. I'll go into the pant library.
What if there was no clean pants, but the
there's
red...
There's always clean pants. Okay, right. That's one thing I insist on. But no, there's... But, yeah, I go into the pant drawer, and I just think, oh, the Goons are playing today.
And you'll wear it on another day? You will wear the red...
Okay. As long as they're not the in action, it's pathetic, pants. Isn't it?
Okay, it's grown men. Pathetic, yeah.
But I just think, why tempt fate? Because if I see they run out 3 or 4 nil winners, I'm thinking it's the red banded pants.
100%.
So we've got a bit of audio. Can we? Have we got that? Have we got that for you? Can we do that very quickly? Or yeah, I think we possibly can. We're going to play you something now, which was sent to us when we got talking about this earlier on. This is a Newcastle fan. Yes. I think the red banded pant is pushing it. Listen to this.
I won't wear anything red. So I don't have anything red in my wardrobe. I don't eat bacon because it's red. I don't even like tomatoes because they're red. I just don't have anything red in my life. Better dead than red.
Well, it doesn't have to be red. It can be any colour you like. But don't eat bacon because it's red. Anyway, let us know this afternoon the colours you avoid and the lengths you go to. The things that have kicked off in games but didn't obviously go too far. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ, and those scenarios which allow you to say, I've just taken Scott Carson to Istanbul. It is Paul Hawksby, about 95%, I'd say, and warming up. Max Rushton, based, well, I've
in the gutter, I'm about 50%.
75, I'd say about 75, yeah, 80, okay, which is pretty good.
But thanks for that.
So stick around. He may be sick into the bin.
I've had 4 or 6 paracetamol, I can't remember. So I'm going to have a couple more at 3.
Could go a bit. Alan Partridge.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
So, the official Euro 2020, albeit a year delayed, anthem will be released soon. News today has emerged that Martin Garrix, nope, me neither, but then I'm of a certain age, Bono and The Edge, yeah, I'm very much aware of their work, have recorded the song. And how well do they do? How memorable are they? We'll discover how memorable they are in a few moments' time. But joining us now, Communications Director of the BPI, the British Phonographic, it's Gennaro Castaldo joining us. Good afternoon, Gennaro.
Good afternoon. Well pronounced.
Yes. So do these stick in your memory? I mean, World Cup songs maybe over the years have, and Three Lions probably has. Beyond that, in the last sort of 4 Euro official anthems, do any of them stick with you, Gennaro?
Not especially. I think, you probably do have to go back to the sort of high watermark of the 90s. Obviously, Three Lions 96 got to number one. Then it got reissued for the World Cup 2 years later and got to number one again. So I think that's the one that most of us really remember. Obviously, there was sort of World in Motion, which was the, for the World Cup in 1990. I guess it depends on a number of things. One is the quality of the song, just how brilliant it is, how anthemic it is, how well it does in the charts and kind of somehow captures the sort of public mood. But it's also about what the team themselves are actually doing and whether there's optimism around them. And clearly there was around that time in the 90s. And I sense strongly that that's coming once again. There's a genuine belief that not only can this team sort of do very well, but they probably are one of the very best sides in the world. And with England playing at home and the World Cup, the championships taking place here, I think everything is sort of set for things to sort of take off. And I've not heard this song yet, but if it's got Bono and the Edge in, then, I mean, clearly that speaks a great deal about its credentials. Yeah. And you would imagine it's going to be a belter.
It's called We Are the People We've Been Waiting, I would right. imagine, with a nod to the fact that it's a year later. And I think Martin Garrix is a DJ and he's put it together and they've come in and guessed it on the vocals.
This is for the this is like the official UEFA
This will be the
one,
official UEFA right. anthem. Do you? I might just give you a flavour of an earlier one. Right. Do you want to hear one from
I
back
would love
in the day?
To, yeah.
Let's see, Gennaro, whether this rings any bells for you. I think we're going to take you back to, is this 2004? I think we're going to go back to 2004. Have a listen to this.
Is that Bewitched?
No, it's not. It's Nelly Furtado.
All right, thanks, Nelly.
Forza, which was Portugal 2004.
Right, okay.
That kind of vaguely rings a bell, but
nothing for me.
Gennaro, does it ring any bells with you?
It doesn't. I think you also have to distinguish between the official kind of England song,
yeah,
and very good and very successful, and the kind of the one people put out, which tend to be very worthy, tend to not really capture the imagination, shall we say.
I wonder if they do, kind of, some of these songs, we'll play a couple more in a minute, and some of them are kind of the sort of things you hear if you're going to a sort of Spanish bar. And they're very kind of Euro disco-y, and I would imagine they do quite well. Maybe a bit more, a bit better, maybe on the continent.
I just can't
than they
imagine
do here.
How depressing the UEFA meeting would be with the suits in UEFA just playing these tracks, trying
well,
to be cool.
We can't trust them to bring an orange ball to
no,
Manchester.
Absolutely.
So let's hear 2008, shall we? This is, I don't know if it's a nod to Delia. It's called "Can You Hear Me," and it's Enrique Iglesias. This was for Austria, Switzerland, of course, the well-known Austro-Swiss Enrique Iglesias. Let's have a listen to this.
Again, I mean, that sounds like about 3,000 different songs.
The thing is, it doesn't really speak. It doesn't really feel of the time. That could have been 2004. It could have been last week. It's just, it's a bit sort of generic, Gennaro. It seems to be the kind of theme. I suppose they have to be fairly antiseptic because they've got to get past the UEFA Blazers, really.
Yeah, there's all that, and I guess you want to sort of make it, you know, appeal to the whole world, so you end up really appealing to nobody in a way, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect word summing it up.
The question is, obviously, like three lines, it's obviously such a brilliant song.
Yeah.
But if McAllister's penalty goes in,
yeah,
right, and England fall out of the group stages,
mm,
do we remember that song?
Well, it is a song about failure,
yeah,
isn't it, ultimately? It's a song about belief, but ultimately it's a song about failure. It's like hope, but failure. So maybe that would have fed into it if Gary Mack had scored and Scotland
because
had
it's a coincidence that New Order was 1990, and that was another brilliant tournament for us, and 96 was Three Lions. Maybe that's the deciding point. We need a good song, unofficial or official, and if we don't have that, we're not going to get anywhere.
Do you want to hear the 2012 Poland-Ukraine?
Yes, please.
Endless Summer. Oceana were the band. I don't need to tell you that. Let's have a listen, see if this was a real departure from the norm. It's an exercise class in a Spanish hotel, isn't it? Mum, where's Mum? She's in the pool. She's doing exercise class.
Doing water aerobics.
I think
there's a thing developing here, isn't there, in terms of style of music? But there's no way that Bono and the Edge are going to put their skills or something like that. It's going to be a pretty remarkable song. But I make a prediction that if England do well or they go on to win, Three Lions will get to number one in the charts because we're streaming, the song will come back. And that's what people will gravitate to. So that's my prediction.
We had that in the World Cup, of course, didn't we, where it came back to the fore. Let's just bring you the one from 2016, France. This one's for you. David Guetta. I've gone with his own personal pronunciation before people get on my back. It also features, I think it was written by Afrojack. Of course. And yeah, this one's for you. Zara Larsson, David Guetta. Here we go. This is a song that lends itself to kids waving flags on a pitch and forming a map in the shape of France. And
we're sort of buffeting a really large...
Like the Champions League ball.
Absolutely,
waving a massive canvas in the middle of the field.
It moves me.
They're songs written for opening ceremonies, but they say they're just... They're a bit. They sound like they've all been written by UEFA's computer, Gennaro.
Absolutely. Ultimately, you want a song that the fans can sing on the terraces.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of the winning formula, and that's why Three Lines were so huge, and even Back Home or whatever, those classic songs, you could sing them. And I think these other ones, they're very worthy, but as you say, they're ideal for opening ceremonies and fancy fireworks and stuff, but they're not really going to sort of get the fans in their heart and soul, are they?
And you're right, maybe the kind of global profile of Bono and the Edge, although, you know, Enrique Iglesias and people like that are big names, David Guetta's a big name, and I don't know if they shifted lots of copies of this, but it is two members of U2. It'll probably get it a bit more notoriety than we've seen. And this is the first one that's been pan-European, isn't it? This is the first time we've had a pan-European tournament, not quite as pan as we'd hoped with the virus, but we're going to see it played in different countries. It's not in one country, so I don't know if that'll make any difference.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting departure because a lot of the songs you've been playing and these more UEFA FIFA ones tend to be a bit sort of Latin. And I remember, you know, Ricky Martin and La Vida Loca, you know, or The Cup of Life, wasn't it? So they tend to go for that slightly more global Hispanic sound. But I think if they've got the Edge and Bono, it's going to sound totally different. Obviously, heavy guitar bass. So I'm really intrigued to hear what it's like.
Yeah. Gennaro, good to talk to you. Appreciate you joining us. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Gennaro Castaldo there from the British phonographic industry with his thoughts on the song. We'll hear it in the fullness of time.
I should hope so. Will we get a list of unofficial ones as well? We'll listen through to them.
We used to
were on Top of the Pops.
Talksport generally we were on Top of the Pops. Yeah, Come on England. Me and Andy and Quinny and all the Talksport presenters of that sort of era.
Wow, is that like Come On Eileen
Andy
cover?
Andy decided he would mess with the... Because it was a pre-record to be played out on Top of the Pops. And Andy decided he would mess with the edit because they were going around sort of shooting stuff. And so Andy kept moving around in the lineup to make it difficult to edit. What a piece of work.
Ruin the continuity of Top of the Pops. Did anyone notice?
So he just, I don't know. I don't know if anybody just kept seeing Andy pop up. I think, obviously, he just wanted to pop up in more of the pictures. But
was it a great moment for you?
We got to number two. Brittany was number one.
Right,
I can't remember this. It wasn't one of her big hits.
Okay.
You know, it
was one of her B-sides.
It was kind of one of her minor hits, but still got to number one over us. Oh. But it was a fairly bizarre experience going on Top of the Pops.
Who else was on that show that day, John?
Shall I look it up?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's all a blur.
What year are we in?
2006, it would have been.
Right, okay.
I'll look it up.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, the good news is that Danny Kelly's excellent My Sporting Life series of long-form interviews with sports great and good are available on the TalkSport app. You can download it wherever you get your apps and listen to some selected My Sporting Lives at your leisure. Danny joins us every week to dip into the archive. Good afternoon, Dan.
Hello, chaps. All good?
Yeah, not too bad.
Now you ask, actually.
Oh, yeah. Max has he had the jab. I know, Danny, very quickly, I know you had the jab. Your first
Monday,
one.
Yeah.
All good? No reaction?
Absolutely. Very, very well organised over here. They finally got the supplies. It's really good. Mm. And I have to say, for those of you worried about it, it doesn't hurt. And here we are 36 hours later. And I've had absolutely no side effects, although I am broadcasting it to you now without the need of a microphone.
Of course, picking up Radio Luxembourg.
on my earlobes, yes.
Well, Max is struggling. Old mate Georgie Bingham says she's been laid low for 24 hours. It affects different people in different
ways. It's amazing. And there's the fact. I have identical twin brothers. Mm. They went to get the same vaccine the same day at the same centre. One of them was laid low. He's fine now. The other one, no effect at all, playing golf the next morning. So you say it's a little bit of potluck, I guess, but the long-term benefits, I think, far outweigh any temporary inconveniences.
100%.
We could be having this conversation at the bus stop, so we'll move on. And many people probably
If only, Paul, if only.
Now, the man who skippered our club when I first started going on a regular basis, Mullers, the great Alan Mullery, is the topic of this one.
Absolutely, and this, he was one I was very joyful to do, because he's a football personality who I think is in danger of fading into the grey background of history. But he scored a goal for England in the quarter final of a World Cup. He captained an English team to a European title. He's the source of all that terrible rivalry between Crystal Palace and Brighton. He also, as we'll no doubt be hearing, is infamous for one other incident. So I was glad to do Alan, because it was a danger, I thought, that he would disappear into obscurity. Mm. And in fact, it was a very nice interview, very interesting and good man. And it went to some very dark places that I know we're not going to play out this afternoon, but I warn you, if you listen to the interview, I mean, I was absolutely shocked when he told me how the place he'd got to in his life a little later on. But it was a really good interview.
Yeah, so we'll kick off with the football, because he has a certain infamy in the world of international football, and he became the first England player to be sent off. This is what he said.
I blame the Yugoslavs for that, because basically they kicked lumps out of us throughout the game. I mean, over-the-top tackles, whatever they had on those studs wasn't very nice, because every time we went into a tackle, we came away bleeding. With a minute to go, we're losing 1-0, and we'd had enough of it, basically. And I was on the halfway line facing my own goal. Bobby Moore knocked me the ball, and he shouted, "Up your back," so I knocked it straight back to him. And then this fella came down the back of my left leg, my standing leg. There were two or three great holes, you know, there. Still got the scars.
A man called Trivich.
Trivich, I'll always remember him, because if I ever meet him, I'm going to run him over, you know, after all these years.
Good for you, Alan, yeah.
And literally turned round and accidentally kicked him in the netherals. Yeah. And literally he went down like a sack of spuds, as they would. Referee was standing literally, you know, from the distance you are from me, 2 yards, and he should just show me the red card. And as I was walking off, I thought, what have I done? You know, the first person ever sent off playing for England at senior level. I've let the side down, even though there was only a minute to go. I've let Alf down. And literally every supporter that was there I'd let down as well. As we got into the dressing room, I jumped in the big communal bath. I felt a hand grab me by the hair and lift me from under the water. And it was Alf. And he said, "I'm delighted that somebody has kicked those so-and-sos when they deserved it," and dropped me back in the water. And I got fined 50 quid.
Wow. You know, I wonder if Fernandinho had kicked someone in the netherlands last night, he would have got away with it. Wouldn't have got a yellow card.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Play on.
Yeah,
play on.
The netherlands.
I've got to say, just think about that, though. That was mid-70s. Hmm. No England player had been sent off in almost a century of international football. Yeah. How things have changed.
I know, that's very true. He had a very successful career in management. He's often cited in the bad blood between Brighton and Palace, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
And that particular derby.
Yeah, the main reason,
Of course. He talked to you about sort of missing out on managerial jobs.
Absolutely. This is a great story, and I'll let Alan tell it. But essentially, he goes to West Bromwich Albion, and for reasons that should become very plain very quickly, doesn't quite get the job.
I get a phone call from West Brom. Could I apply for the job? Because Ron had left. So I get up to West Brom. Ronnie Allen and me, we're the final two. So in I go. They give me all the brochures on the houses, give me all the school brochures and things like private schools. And so, give us 15 minutes, we'll be out with you. I go and sit outside. Ronnie Allen was sitting there, and he went in for about half an hour. He came out after about, he was white, he was absolutely ashen white. And I said, "You okay, Ronnie?" He said, "No." He said, "I've had a big shock in there, Alan." He said, "You know, I've been grilled." He said, "I can't believe it. I was a player at this club." And I thought myself, "Well, that's bad luck, mate. You know, it's mine." Fella came out, Tony Rance, the secretary. He shook me by the hand. He said, "I'm sorry, Alan." He said, "Ronnie's got the job." I didn't know what, I just turned around and said, "Congratulations, Ron." Got in a taxi. Got home about 8 o'clock that night, and the missus said to me, she said, "There's been a fella called Brian Boundy phoning you all the time, you know." I said, "Well, he's on the board of West Brom." So I had to phone him back. So I said, "Mr. Boundy," I said, "it's Alan Mullery." He said, "Alan," he said, "we made a terrible mistake."
"What?"
I said, "What do you mean you made a mistake?" He said, "We told the Tony Rance to go out and tell Alan he got the job, and he gave it to the wrong Alan."
"Oh, no."
I said, "What are you going to do about it?" He said, "We can't do anything." He said, "The chairman's having his picture taken on the pitch with Ronnie Allen."
That's amazing. Brilliant. Did Tottenham give it to the wrong Jose? Who was it meant for?
Yeah. I mean, the next time you see these club chairmen and directors of football with their clipboards and their computers apparently going to great lengths to scour the earth for the right man, bear that story in mind.
Oh,
football is not the science it's made out to be, is it? That was great.
We do recommend you go and listen to the Mullers. As Danny said, there are some, knowing Alan and having read his book, it does go to some dark places, but it's a fascinating listen. We normally play three clips, but we're going to just cut this short slightly because we want to talk to you about Alan McLaughlin. You knew Alan, and we did as well. Yeah. He was a regular guest over the years on the show, always happy to talk Ireland and Pompey and more. And he was so many of the tributes today, Danny, just saying, I mean, ultimately, you know, a great footballer, and will play the goal that Ireland loves him for. But so many people just saying, lovely guy, and I think most of us will take that as an epitaph.
And do you know which of us, when we get to the end, to the terminus of this particular journey, wouldn't settle for that from everybody who knows to say, he or she, great person. That would be a great thing. And Alan absolutely deserved that. I mean, I worked with him lots of times, in person, sometimes on the phone, and he was just a person who just wanted to do the best that he could for you and for the listeners in that scale. But what I have to tell you, and you're going to play the goal in a second, though, it is impossible to gauge how important he is in this country, in the Republic of Ireland, because not only do Ireland not qualify for many, many, many of these big tournaments, and he was the person who got the goal, but he also did it against the local rivals in the north of Ireland, and also in Belfast, in an atmosphere that I'm told was the second most poisonous most people can remember a football match taking place in. The most poisonous, of course, being when the England fans smashed up the ground in Dublin. You'll all remember that as well. For him to be the person, not Roy Keane, not any of the superstars in the team, you know, had a pretty good squad in those days, but a player who was, you know, a very good footballer without ever really approaching superstardom to get the goal. He is an absolute legend in this country, and people are devastated.
Absolutely. Danny, well said. We will catch up with you next week. Thanks for joining us.
Bless you all. Keep well.
Danny Kelly there. You can download the My Sporting Life archive, as we said, from the TalkSport app. But we will take you into the news and sport with Alan McLaughlin's goal for the Republic of Ireland against Northern Ireland back in 1993, which sealed qualification to the World Cup in the USA.
Irwin with the free kick. Oh, it's a great goal by Alan McLaughlin, the substitute. It's 1-1. And the Republic live again. Oh, what an occasion for McLaughlin. His 15th cap for the Republic. And the Portsmouth player hit that so truly. Maybe a 1-1 result would be the perfect outcome. And it is a 1-1 draw. And the Republic celebrate what they believe is a passage to the World Cup in the United States.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You're telling us this afternoon after the City PSG game got a pretty bad tempered last night. I mean, mainly from the PSG angle, but there was that Zinchenko moment where you felt like, calm down, Fernandinho got into him, and he completely lost it, didn't he? It was the injustice of what had gone on because he'd clearly done nothing and they were trying to make something out of it, but we thought, come on, calm down, because you could easily...
You don't want to go 10 aside. You could have done, couldn't you?
No, exactly. But anyway, he calmed down, and you can see how emotional he was at the end. And you're telling us about those. You know, we don't want it turning into a police action. Matt, though, says, I played in a Sunday league game. We're at the final whistle. The ref threw his cards and whistle on the floor and said, come on then, lads, I'm not the ref anymore, and squared up to our centre-half.
Rob says, I had to mark a guy who was appearing in his first game since coming out of prison. He stood on my feet at the first play so I couldn't move and told me he was going to eat me alive. Thankfully, he got sent off a few minutes later for a two-footed tackle. Phew, he says. I'm some pressure on the... I said earlier, you know, I'm not 100%. Yeah. So we might just phone it in today. But yeah. Barca Jim, friend of the show, has... I don't know if you realise the pressure that we're under. If you listen to TalkSport on the app, do you know what it says about this show?
No.
It says, Hawksby and Rushton serve up sports news, big guests and more. Then it says, it's the reason afternoons exist. I mean, that's quite
blimey.
Big, isn't it?
That's a lot of pressure. I thought it was something to do with the tides.
It was about the concept of time and tides and some way of getting from lunch to the evening, wasn't it?
But just actually, some kind of bridge.
Who knew that this is the reason that afternoons exist? Are we saying if this show stopped...
I'll look up Wikipedia afternoons and see if we're at the top.
Okay, the derivation of afternoons. While you do that, give you some news from the A-League in Australia regarding Tony Sage, who is the owner of Perth Glory. He is banned from attending the game as an owner, when they face Melbourne City at HBF Park tonight, I think it is. Under strict COVID rules, Sage is not allowed into the stadium as the owner of the owner or chairman when they play behind closed doors. But he can go as a ball boy. So he's swapping his jacket and tie for a tracksuit and he's going to be a ball boy, the owner of Perth Glory.
Isn't that absolutely brilliant?
That's I can't go, it's a joke, he said. It would be the first home game I'd have missed in 14 years and I'm not missing it. My name was put forward as the owner and then as the chairman we were told I was not a required person. So when you're watching the game tonight, you'll see me as a ball boy. We kicked out a ball kid and I'm taking their place. Oh, it's a bit harsh.
Should we have a chat with him tomorrow?
Well, if we can, why
not?
Yeah,
I mean, Perth, what's the time difference? You know Australian things.
So, I think it's about 9.
Okay, well, look, we'll get him early.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that. Anyway, I've looked it up.
Okay.
Wikipedia. Afternoon is the time of day between noon and evening.
Yes.
It's the time when the sun is descending from its peak in the sky to somewhat before its terminus at the horizon of the west. In human life, it occupies roughly the latter half of the standard work and school day. In literal terms, it refers to a time specifically afternoon. The equivalent of Earth's afternoon on another planet would refer to the time the principal star of that planetary system would be in descent from its prime meridian, yes, as seen by the planet's surface. And then it says,
of course,
it exists because of Paul Hawksby and Max Rushton on TalkSport.
So, how will Andy feel about that?
I don't know.
Is he
I don't
not, know the reason afternoons exist. Surely afternoons existed. Well, when? What,
I don't
what
remember came, that being there.
What came first? I mean, afternoons or Hawksby and Jacobs?
It's quite difficult for him to see it as anything but a slight.
It is a slight. Yeah. But you guys have been doing the show for a long time. Mm. So, I mean, I don't know what came first, afternoons.
But it used
or,
to say when we did it, it's the reason why afternoons are boring.
Right.
No, it didn't, Andy.
Now,
calm down.
Here is a question. You may have seen this doing the rounds on social media. Someone called Beta saying, definitely the most bizarre question I have seen on a job application. It's an online job application.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask it to you now, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
This is a required question, it says in red with an exclamation mark. So you have to answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
You've been given an elephant. You can't give it away or sell it. What would you do with the elephant?
You've been given an elephant.
You've been given an elephant. You can't give it away or sell it. What would you do with the elephant? That's, I don't have the details of what job Beta is going for. I mean, if she's sort of, if she's zoo handler, sort of not a.
Well, I've got two choices, haven't I?
What are your choices? Ride the elephant?
I keep the elephant and nurture it and a considerable expense.
Yes.
I humanely have it euthanized, but that's not me. That's not
I don't want
me.
A photo of you on top astride an elephant.
That's not me.
No.
I think it tells a lot about a person when you've been given an elephant, where the sort of person that says, well, you know, I'll take a 12-bore shotgun to it, or the person who says, well, if I've been given an elephant, I'll make the best of it.
I think so.
When you're given elephants, make. You know what I mean?
I mean, that is a slightly ridiculous. I mean,
I've got more elephant news for you in a minute, but carry on.
So have I, believe it or not. The Daily Star fact of the day.
Oh, no, I've
do you have that?
This is a letter to the Telegraph. This
okay,
is
right. Which do we go first, the Star or the Telegraph? You go first.
Should we go? Okay, let's do that. Okay. Sir, it starts, which right. it doesn't start like that in the start.
It goes, it doesn't.
Oi!
Oi!
But it says, Sir, in the Telegraph, during my golfing days in Rhodesia around 1964, here we gathered it was a while back, hence Rhodesia, I played at Victoria Falls where the pro offered hand towels inscribed with the local golfing bylaws. Oh. And the local golfing bylaws included, if an elephant trod on your ball, it could be replaced without penalty.
He's hoping.
If wild pigs bit a chunk out of your ball, it could be replaced without penalty.
Uh-huh.
If lions appeared, you could retire beyond the 3-minute delay without penalty. Just great, isn't it? On a towel that they gave you. So if you came across any of the wildlife, you'd know what to do without losing stroke.
I mean, and if that lion rule wasn't there, that you know, there would be some stuffy captain on the 15th going, sorry, to 3 minutes one.
That's it.
That's a stroke penalty.
Do apologise. Yeah, well done, whoever sent that in.
The Daily Star's slightly less detailed is the fact of the day is an elephant's trunk can be up to 7 feet long and hold 12 litres of water.
Yeah.
So don't stand close to it if it looks like it's going to sneeze. But it could be used as a water cooler in the office.
Or it could, but yeah, it's slightly recycled through an elephant's trunk. You could use it for your garden. Get rid of your hose lock.
That's true.
Get rid of that in the garden and use the elephant. I mean, you know, the upkeep is a whole lot greater than a hose.
Owen says, you could release it back into the wild. Hashtag just saying. But, you know, not if you're in Rotherham.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you can't release it back into the wild in Rotherham, can you? It's the last thing Rotherham need at the moment. I mean, amongst all the football matches that they're playing, they seem to be playing a match every 15
minutes.
But
they've got Luton and it's been called off. If the elephant treads on the ball, they can replace the ball, though, without penalty, though. So that's lucky, isn't it?
I'm kind of rooting for them to an extent. I know Derby fans won't be chuffed to hear that. But they've just played their 11th game in 33 days. Nearly a quarter of the Sun Tellers, nearly a quarter of their entire season has been crammed in just over a month because of COVID issues. So they are up against it at the moment, aren't they? And it's not in their hands anymore, is it, really? I think after last night's game, the draw.
It's 0-0. Well, they need a win, don't they? And then they need to hope that Sheffield Wednesday beat Derby.
Yeah.
So that is, I mean, it's so tense.
I watched a bit of the game, Forest, Sheffield Wednesday last night. Tense. Yeah. Those games are getting very tense.
Do you mean not very good?
it wasn't the greatest. It was, but it wasn't. There was so much riding on it.
Paul Jiggins, our friend from the Sun, says, surely you say you will keep the elephant in the room. That's a very good answer.
Then no one's going to talk about it, are they? That's the problem. That's
a very good point.
Yeah.
The slight issue, and I hate to take away from Manchester City fans.
Oh, yeah.
But there are a couple of bits of news from the Star today. Mm. One is a 21-ton, 100-foot Chinese rocket called Long March 5B is set to crash to Earth in days. No one knows where.
That could be
an issue for the Champions League final.
Yeah.
And Jerry Lawton writes, an asteroid smashing into Earth would wipe us out. There's nothing we could do to stop it. So, you know, what's the point?
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah, might as well just not play any of the games.
It's one way to get rid of that elephant, though, isn't it? Not that I want to. Of course, I'm keeping it, as you know, as a garden. So, anyway, it's Paul Hawksby and Max Rushton here on Talks. Did that take your mind off it for 15 minutes?
I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed that bit. I don't know if anyone else did, but
probably
I had a great time.
Golf Super League. How depressing is that as a phrase? But they're serious, apparently. They thought it had gone away, much like the European Super League, but it's back. Saudi Arabian investors are back, and they're throwing cash at the world's top golfers. But will they buckle? We'll find out. Rupert Bell's been right across this for us. It's Paul Hawksby and Max Rushton. The reason that afternoons exist on TalkSport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. So all being well, you'll feel a bit better tomorrow.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, I don't want to use it as an excuse for the birthday spread.
Well, I think you're getting it in early. I'm not, you know.
Well, possibly. But I mean, having learned that we are the reason that afternoons exist,
well,
that is extra pressure, isn't
that
it?
That does bring a lot more pressure
it really
on.
It does.
And so we'll, Andy and Jeff Peters join us for the birthday spread. Plenty more. We'll look back on the football, etc. But for now, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.